You are listening to the audio from Grace Bible Church. This audio message is a recording from our Sunday morning worship service. We hope you enjoy.
Well, good morning, Grace. It's great to be with you guys again this morning. I want to encourage you to open up your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And if you do not have your own copy of Scripture, you're going to find it on page 989 in your pew Bible. 989. So I'll give you a second to turn there. I was driving my van to Dixon City when I began to notice some hesitation whenever I hit the gas pedal. And at first, I thought it was a fluke, but after a while, the problem got worse and worse. And so I remember being up on Route 6, and I called Carrie, and I said, hey, listen, you got to prepare yourself to pick me up because I'm pretty positive the van's about to break down. And so I made it as far as Lower Troop because I live down here in Troop. And when all of a sudden, I hit on the gas, and the van barely moved forward. It puttered, it sputtered, and it stopped dead. And I was completely stuck. And so a good Samaritan saw me in my distress, and he helped me push the van to the side of the road, and then he left me for dead. I'm thankful for that man, though. He helped me a little bit. And then I called for a tow truck. And when the driver arrived, he told me the bad news. He said, I guarantee it's the tranny, which is also known as the transmission. And he towed the van to the nearest mechanic, who only confirmed the tow truck driver's suspicion, my transmission died. Now, for those of you who are not mechanically inclined, the purpose of a transmission is to transfer power from the engine to the wheels. It's a vital part of your vehicle, in case you were wondering. You can have a full gas tank, you can have a full battery, you can have a fully working engine. But if you don't have a fully working transmission to empower it, you're not going to go anywhere. Your ability to move forward is completely dependent upon the power that comes from the transmission. Well, church, when it comes to our spiritual lives, prayer is a lot like a transmission. It's the power that keeps us moving forward. You see, you can go to church every Sunday. You could read your Bible every day. But if you don't pray, you're like a van with a bad transmission. You'll work just fine in idle, but you won't be able to move forward in your Christian walk. And this reality is true both for us as individuals as well for us as a church as a whole. E.M. Bounds said this, "We can do nothing without prayer. All things can be done by persistent prayer. It surmounts or removes all obstacles, overcomes every resisting force, and gains its ends in the face of invincible hindrances." Martin Luther said, "To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing." Friends, if you want to move forward in your faith, and if we want to move forward as a church, then we must maintain a high regard for prayer. Simply put, there is no other way. In the last book that we just studied, 1 Thessalonians, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, "Pray without ceasing." Why? Why? Because maintaining an attitude of prayer at all times indicates a complete dependence upon God. On the flip side, when we ignore prayer, we're actually indicating the opposite. Daniel Henderson said, "Prayerlessness is our declaration of independence from God." And so needless to say, we need to pray, yes? And so this morning, as we continue our study in 2 Thessalonians, we're going to learn more about how to pray. You know, the great theologian M.C. Hammer once said, "We've got to pray just to make it today," right? Well, in today's study, we're going to learn how to pray in a way that empowers us to move forward in our Christian faith on a daily basis. Does that sound like a plan? Let's pray and ask God's blessing on our time in His Word. Father, thank You for the opportunity to preach Your Word again this morning. It is a blessing to my soul, and I pray that I would get out of Your way and that Your Holy Spirit would speak through me, through the power of Your Word, to challenge our hearts today and draw us closer to Your Son, Jesus. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So church, when it comes to the practice of prayer, most people view it as being bringing a grocery list of needs to God and then waiting for Him to respond. And don't get me wrong, we're supposed to bring all of our needs, obviously, and requests before the throne. But prayer is so much more than that. When you look at the New Testament, prayer wasn't just a passing spiritual practice. It was a vital part of the Christian life. You see, people didn't pray passively. They prayed as if their spiritual lives depended on it, because they did. Jim Cimbala notes, the apostles had this instinct. When in trouble, pray. When intimidated, pray. When challenged, pray. When persecuted, pray. In fact, when you consider all the prayers in the New Testament, look at all the prayers in the New Testament, most of them are actually centered around spiritual growth. It's true. They're centered around things like faithfulness and fruitfulness and perseverance and obedience and wisdom and understanding and the like. See, they are petitions that are made by God's people, for God's people, asking God to help them move forward in their faith. And today's text is no different. You see, the Thessalonian believers knew the pains of persecution. They knew what it was like to experience insults and mockery and affliction on account of their faith. And so in a very real sense, they needed the power of prayer to keep on keeping on. And the Apostle Paul made sure to give them exactly what they needed. And so with that said, let's just begin by reading the whole text, just two verses today, and then we'll break it down. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12 reads this. To this end, we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Church, I am a proud member of AAA. I have a AAA card that is there for me whenever I need it. For example, when my van broke down, I used the services of AAA to get towed. And in times past, when I've had a flat tire, I've used the services of AAA to get it fixed. You see, AAA is there for me when I have an emergency. But now, if I'm completely honest, apart from getting discount Knoebels tickets, that's pretty much the only time I use AAA is for emergencies. But here's the thing about AAA. By the way, I'm not getting paid to promote AAA this morning. But here's the thing about AAA, there's a lot more benefits than just emergency services. AAA offers a number of beneficial services that actually could enhance my everyday life, and all I need to do is ask for them. Well, the same is true when it comes to prayer. You see, many people only use it in times of emergency or distress. And while it's a good thing to go to God when we're in trouble, we shouldn't only go to God when we're in trouble. Corrie ten Boom famously asked the question, is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? In other words, is prayer the guiding force of your life, or is it only used as a last-ditch effort? Friends, there are daily benefits that come from the practice of prayer, benefits that will enhance your spiritual life and help you stay on the straight and narrow. And all you need to do is to access these benefits is to ask God for them. Well, in today's text, the Apostle Paul does exactly that. He intercedes on behalf of the Thessalonian believers, asking God to pour out his benefits and his blessings upon them. Benefits and blessings that would enhance their spiritual lives and help them stay faithful to the Lord in the days ahead. And so he begins by saying, to this end, we always pray for you. And this is a reminder to us that prayer is not just a one-and-done deal. It's an ongoing, regular practice. It's something that we should do every day, all throughout the day, so we can get through the day. And so I've broken down today's passage into three ways to pray to make it today. And let's begin by looking at number one. It's this. Pray to be worthy of God's calling. Pray to be worthy of God's calling. Look at the first half again of verse 11. To this end, we always pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling. You know, every year the NFL hosts what's called the NFL draft. And during this time of year, all 32 teams in the NFL, they draft college players to be on their squad. Now the expectation of those who are drafted is simple. Live up to your potential. Coaches and teams rightfully expect the players they draft to represent their team well. They expect the players to perform at a level that is worthy of their calling, particularly if they're a top 10 pick. Well, in the same way, as followers of Christ, we have been drafted into God's family. We have been called out to be representatives of God's kingdom. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. And see, church, the Lord expects us to be good representatives of his kingdom. He expects us to perform at a level that is worthy of our calling. And the good news with all of that is just like a good coach, God is willing to empower us and equip us with everything we need to grow and excel along the way. He doesn't leave us alone in this journey. But again, we just need to ask him for it. When you ask the Lord to make you worthy of his calling, what you're really asking for is, God, make me more like Jesus. Make me more like Christ. But in doing so, you must recognize that oftentimes, the way God makes his followers more like Christ is through suffering. It's true. Proverbs 17:3 says, the crucible is for silver and the furnace is for gold, and the Lord tests hearts. You know, when a tea bag is placed in hot water, what happens? The stuff that's in the bag comes out of the bag, yes? Well, whatever's inside the tea bag comes out. The same is true with our Christian faith. When God allows us to go through the heat of hardships, it reveals what's on the inside. He allows us to go through these times of testing to reveal our spiritual strengths and weaknesses. The Thessalonian believers were in a time of testing. And so Paul's fervent prayer was that they would come out looking more like Jesus. He prayed that even in the midst of the heat, that they would display the attributes of God. You know, 1 Peter 1:7 says this, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You see, church, when God allows us to be tested by fire, there's going to be times when we're going to pass, and there's going to be times when we're going to fail. But those who are committed to living a life worthy of their calling will learn from their mistakes and keep moving forward. And it's for this reason that we need to pray every day that God would help us stay faithful to him. Why? Because every day we're faced with a new set of challenges, roadblocks, trials, and testing. Amen? Every day. We can't live off the power of yesterday's prayer. We need a fresh prayer for today. We need fresh fuel for today. Listen to what David wrote in Psalm 5, 1 and 3. O Lord, hear me as I pray. Pay attention to my groaning. Listen to my cry for help, my God and my King, for I pray to no one but you. Listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Each morning I bring my requests to you and wait expectantly. It's a daily practice. We need a daily dose of God's power to help on keeping on. We need to pray like this every day. This leads us to the second way to pray. Pray to be aligned with God's will. Pray to be aligned with God's will. Look again at verse 11. And may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power. There's a story told about a Christian workplace where it was customary for employees to pause for prayer each morning at 9 a.m. That's pretty cool, right? Does your place of employment allow you to do that? Pause at 9 o'clock for prayer? Well, anyway, a prayer bell signaled the beginning and ending of this daily routine. But occasionally, employees would find themselves on the phone during the prayer time. And the entire office, which was now quiet, would overhear their conversation. Well, on one such occasion, during morning prayer time, a man could be heard in his office shouting, "Hello, hello, I can't hear you, can you hear me?" And after the ending bell, one of his coworkers looked at the other and said, "I think he's having a hard time getting a hold of the Lord this morning." Church, sometimes when we pray, it feels like we're not getting through to God or God's not getting through to us. How many have ever experienced that before? And there could be a variety of reasons for this. One reason could be that we're praying for the wrong things. James 4:3 says, you ask and don't receive because you ask wrongly and spend it on your passions. Lord, just bless me with that Lamborghini for your glory. You know, that kind of stuff. Another reason could be that we're praying with the wrong heart. Psalm 66:18 says, if I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. What does that mean? It means that if we cherish sin, if we cling to sin, if we have deliberate, unrepentant sin in our hearts, we shouldn't expect the Lord to hear our prayers. Yet another reason why we may not be receiving answers to our prayers is because we're just not praying according to God's will. You see, Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6:10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, one of the purposes of prayer is to invite God to do what he wants, when he wants, where he wants, and how he wants. And just to be clear, God does not need our permission or invitation to do anything. But if you want to be involved in what he's doing, if you want to be part of accomplishing his purposes, then you need to ask him to align your will with his. And this is essentially what Paul was asking on behalf of the Thessalonian believers. When he prayed that God would fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power, he was praying that their desire for goodness, along with their good works of faith, would bring about spiritual fruit. And Paul knew that such a prayer was consistent with God's will. How did he know that? Because Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Well, what does that mean? Well, church, when we delight ourselves in God, when we take pleasure in who God is and what God has done, when we bask in God's word and God's ways, it changes us. It changes our thoughts. It changes our actions. It changes our desires. And so little by little, our will begins to align with God's will. And when that happens, we can be confident that our prayers are going to be answered because they're God's will. 1 John 5:14 and 15 says this, and this is the confidence we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. And so all this to say, we need to pray every day to be aligned with God's will. We need to pray every day that our desires match God's desires. We need to pray every day that God would give us the strength and power we need to accomplish his good works in and through us. And again, this needs to be a daily practice. Why? Because following Christ is a daily decision. Is it not? Again, it's not like this one and done, I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Great song, but that's a song that we need to sing every single morning when we wake up in the morning. Because it's a daily decision. Jesus said it in Luke 9:23. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, what? One time and follow me? Is that what it says? I can't tell. I can't see the screen behind me. What does it say, church? Daily and follow me. It's a daily decision. Now, some of you might be wondering, well, how do I know if I'm even on the same wavelength with God? Talking about praying to be aligned with God's will, like, how do I even know that I'm praying according to God's will? It's a good question. I'll give you a place to start, a great place to start, all right? And I promise if you start praying this way, you're going to be praying according to God's will immediately. Start by praying the Word of God. Praying the Word of God. Literally, open up your copy of Scripture, read it, and then pray those same scriptural truths back to the Lord. Ask the Lord to help you apply what you've read to your life. Church, I'm telling you, praying God's word is always a safe bet. I've heard it put this way. God wants his word to be done. He wants it to be done. So pray for it to be done in your life and in the lives of others. And then you'd be praying according to God's will. Psalm 119:93 says, I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. Your precepts. What's God's precepts? It's his word. For they've given me life. And so if you're looking, I mean, where do I start? How do I start praying? Open up your Bible. Read a portion of Scripture. Ask the Lord to reveal to you some truths in that Scripture and say, Lord, and just pray it. Just pray those truths right back to the Lord. Scripture-fed prayer can never lead you astray. And this leads us to the third way to pray. Pray to be preoccupied with God's glory. preoccupied with his glory. Look at verse 12. So that in the name of our Lord Jesus, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that I've shared this with you before, but ever since my kids were young, we've adopted a family expression, make God look good. Whenever we drop off our kids at school, at church, or at a friend's house, or even a family gathering, we'd encourage them, hey, make God look good. And sometimes we'd shorten it and just say MGLG. They knew what that meant. In other words, don't do anything to embarrass or defame the name of Jesus. Instead, be intentional. Walk and talk in a way that gives him glory. And church, this isn't just some cute parenting strategy that we came up with years ago to make sure our kids behave. It's how every follower of Christ is called to live. We are called to live each day in a way that makes God look good to those around us. The Apostle Paul prayed that the Thessalonian believers would be worthy of their calling and aligned with God's will so that they would make God look good to those around them. In fact, his prayer echoes the words of Christ in the Sermon on the Mount. Look at Matthew 5:16. Jesus said, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Friends, when we're preoccupied with God's glory, when our primary concern is letting the light of Christ shine through us, despite our circumstances, it impacts others around us in a profound way. It causes them to look up to the heavens in awe and wonder, and it brings their attention to the goodness of God. Charles Spurgeon said, the object of our shining is not that men may see how good we are, not even see us at all, but that they may see grace in us and God in us and cry, what a father these people must have. And perhaps there's one of the most poignant examples of this reality lately is Erica Kirk. Because just 11 days after the assassination of her husband, she went before the world and said, I forgive him because it's what Christ did. And it's what Charlie would do. The answer to hate is not hate. The answer we know from the gospel is love and only love. Love for our enemies and love for those who persecute us. In her darkest hour, Erica Kirk let the light of Christ shine through her. And as a result, countless lives were touched by her testimony. The gospel was spread, and God was glorified. And undoubtedly, many who watched her were left wondering, what a father these people must have. And look, some people are still going to reject Jesus no matter what. But I'm just telling you, as your pastor here at Grace, just in our context alone, God has been using this this tragedy to accomplish much, much spiritual good. And we are seeing it, like, a lot. And there are people that in one way, shape, or form are saying, what a father these people must have. I want that. I need that. And we're seeing it here and across really the globe. And so we praise God for that and ask that that continues. But church, we need to pray every day that we would shine the light of Christ just like that example that I shared. We need to pray every day that we would be preoccupied with God's glory. We need to pray every day that no matter what trials or hardships or dangers or toils or snares we face, that nothing would get in the way of making God look good. John the Baptist said in John 3:30, he must increase, but I must decrease. And that should be the attitude of those who call themselves followers of Christ. You know, I began by saying that the power to move forward in our spiritual walk comes through prayer, and I believe that to be true. And what do you think would happen? Rhetorical question, but maybe you could answer back. We'll see. But what do you think would happen if you singular and you plural, including me, began each day sincerely praying this prayer? Dear Lord, help me to live a life worthy of my calling today. Help my will to align with yours. May my thoughts and attitudes and actions be a reflection of your heart. And above all else, help me to glorify you and make you look good in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. What do you think would happen? Good stuff. I might as well just close the message. That's it. Good stuff, right? Let's just... Friends, if you began each day praying like this, I'm absolutely certain that you'd see a change in your relationships, a change in how you respond to hardships, and ultimately a change in how you display your faith. Your spiritual walk will be more vibrant, life-giving, and satisfying than ever before. And I'm not saying it's going to come easy either. You might have to pray this prayer like multiple times throughout the course of your day. I just took it upon myself this past week as I was sermonizing to start making this part of my daily prayers. And you know, there were some days that were good, and there were some days that were not great. That, like, the Lord gave me opportunities to, you know, fulfill all this stuff, and I was weak, let's put it that way. And so you return back to it. It's like even what Pastor Dave talked about earlier, when you're anxious and you pray and this peace of God comes, that's true, it does come, but it might come for 2 minutes, and then all of a sudden you're like, you're trying to gain control and things happen. No, it's okay, you got to go back to God multiple times a day. Remember, pray without ceasing. But I'm telling you, if you genuinely like, Lord, make me worthy of your calling today. Lord, help me to be aligned with your will. God, help me to make you look good in all things. That's going to rub off. And you keep praying that, coupled with spending time in his word and getting to know who he is and how he wants you to live, it's going to change you. It's going to change you. And so why not begin today? Why not begin today? In just a few minutes, we're just going to close by praying this prayer together. That's how I want to close this morning. But before we do, I would be negligent not to mention one last critical component to all of this. If you don't believe in Jesus, then none of what I said applies to you. None of it. You cannot pray to be worthy of God's calling or aligned with his will or preoccupied with his glory unless you've been saved by God's Son. You can't move forward in your Christian faith if you don't have it in the first place. But you can have it. In fact, I would encourage you to have it today because it'll change your life forever and for the better. The Bible teaches that God made us to be with him, to have a relationship with him. But your sin, my sin, it separates you from him. And there's nothing that you can do to bridge that separation. In other words, your sins cannot be removed by good deeds, good works. And so therefore, when you die, if you're left in this sinful state, you're going to go to a place of eternal separation from God. But the good news is that 2,000 years ago, God, in his great love for you, became a man in Jesus, and he died on a cross, taking the punishment of your sins upon himself. And 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead because, as we just sang about, death could not hold him. And in doing so, he provided a way for you to receive forgiveness of your sins, be saved, and receive eternal life. Think about it. Complete and total forgiveness for all of your sins. Pastor, you don't know what I've done. I don't, but he does, and he offers you complete and total forgiveness. That is the scandal and beauty of God's grace. That he's willing to forgive anything and wash you as white as snow. And all you need to do to have his forgiveness and have that promise of eternal life is to believe in Jesus. Just prayerfully admit that you're a sinner, asking God to forgive you, and then believe in him. Trust it in him and him alone to save your soul. See, salvation is by faith. That's how God designed it. And at the moment of belief, you will be saved and become part of the family of God. Romans 10:9 says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's it. You'll be saved. And once you believe in Christ, Scripture teaches that life with him starts now and it lasts for eternity, meaning God will give you the power to change your ways and start living for him even today. And so, friend, if you've never prayed to receive Jesus, I implore you to take that first step of faith today. I promise you won't regret it. So before we close in prayer, I do want to invite the praise team forward so we could pray, and then we can close with the songs. You guys could come on up front. And as I mentioned earlier, I just want to close in prayer simply by praying this prayer together. And then we'll close and we'll sing. So I'd say bow your heads, but that wouldn't work. So look up front, read this with me. Let's pray this together. Dear Lord, help me to live a life worthy of my calling today. Help my will to align with yours. May my thoughts, attitudes, and actions be a reflection of your heart. And above all else, help me to glorify you and make you look good in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Grace Bible Church. For more information about our church and our ministries, you can visit gracebiblepa.com.